Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the beautiful day you blessed us with, and oh so many other blessings throughout the day, and now the awesome opportunity to get back into your word once again. We truly thank you for it. Please be with us now as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z, beginning here the word naked, as we can see first mentioned in Genesis chapter 2, as it breaks down and describes the creation of mankind. Pick it right up in verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Naked and not ashamed. Not ashamed of being naked at the creation, because they were without sin, and they were clothed with the righteousness of God. They had not yet lost that and become spiritually naked. We're talking here both spiritual and physical nakedness. But we see here in chapter 3 what mankind does, which causes him to be unclothed with the spiritual clothing of the Lord. As we read in chapter 3, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Knew they were naked. They lost the covering of righteousness. They had defied a simple commandment of the Lord, not to eat of that particular tree. They defied the Lord. Total and complete defiance to a simple instruction. And it resulted in them being separated from God spiritually. Spiritually dead at that moment. And lost that covering of righteousness. As it continues verse 8. And he heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The Lord knew exactly what he had done, and he knew where he was, but he wanted man to step up, admit his sin, confess his sin. But what did Adam do? Verse 12. And a man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So he blames God, and he blames the woman, instead of blaming himself and taking responsibility for what he has done. As it continues, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So automatically the woman blames the serpent. He didn't force her to eat that. He just presented the temptation, and she fell for it. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Verse 15, there is a prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the conquering of Jesus over death and bruising the head of the serpent. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. He made coats of skins and clothed them. This covering over them resulted in a death, death of a lamb, possibly two. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this was a look toward what would once happen, the death of Jesus Christ to cover our unrighteousness, our nakedness spiritually, as the Lord was representing here, covering them physically, but also representing the cover of righteousness that one day would be available through the finished work of Jesus Christ, through the death of the ultimate Lamb of God. So this is the first mention of clothing being put on them from a skin of an animal. But that animal had to die, of course, for that. The first physical death mentioned was a result of the sin of mankind. And the first spiritual death was a result of the actions of mankind. They were naked. All right, now go over to Genesis chapter 9. We see another account of some nakedness here going on. And now Genesis chapter 9 occurs right after the great flood of Noah's day. And the entire environment was changed. Things were different than prior to it because we lost that beautiful, wondrous coating or shelter shield that was known up in the firmament, the water and ice crystals that was around the planet that the Lord used to add to the water to flood the planet. We lost that. And as a result, more sun rays, more harmful sun rays came in. And some claim that that would change the processes of fermentation when it comes to juices, that they would spoil much quicker and ferment much quicker because of the rays of the sun. And they have tried to make an excuse for what Noah gets into here as being he drank of the fruit of the vine in ignorance, not knowing that it had fermented. That's one explanation of it. Another explanation of it is that he knew good and well what he was doing, and he drank fermented grape juice and got drunk. And we'll see what the results are here in Genesis chapter 9, picking it up in verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. So he got naked, drunk, laying around in his tent, stoned out of his gourd, in other words. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. He apparently looked in, saw him naked, went out, and was probably laughing, and, hey, Dad's laying in there drunk out of his gourd, naked as a jaybird. So what did they do? Verse 23, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. See, they took the time to not look upon their naked father, knowing that he had laid there naked because of what Ham had seen, but they didn't want to do the same thing Ham had done and look upon their father's nakedness, so they went backwards and covered him in that way, respecting their father, even though he was laying there drunk, as it continues. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. Notice he curses Canaan. He doesn't curse Ham for what Ham has done. Maybe this is because he knew it'd be more of an influence if he put a curse on Canaan than directly on Ham for what Ham had done. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Noticed here, in verse 28 and 29, the rest of the life of Noah is mentioned in these two verses. None other reference to what he achieved, or his relationship to the Lord, or his obedience to the Lord. It reads that Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So such behavior, getting drunk and laying around naked and causing this disturbance in the family, resulted in Noah no longer having any great work to do or to achieve the rest of his life. It's like the curse actually was wound up being on Noah because of his drunkenness. So people need to be very careful when it comes to their behavior. And the curse that came upon Canaan, some would say, was inappropriate. That Canaan hadn't done anything to Noah to deserve this curse on him, but the curse came upon him. So maybe that's part of the reason why the Lord didn't use Noah anymore. He unfairly cursed Canaan. He got drunk and was laying there naked, caused this whole disturbance to occur, resulting in shame, disgrace, embarrassment, a curse, all because he got drunk and laying around naked. Gotta be careful with all your actions, all your behaviors, because there will be effects and influences on others around you. So stay away from the booze and the narcotics and the substances that destroy the mind and cause ungodly behavior. All right, now go to Exodus in chapter 32. And here we see a bunch of folks getting naked. Now, this is after the Exodus from Egypt on their journey to the Promised Land. And Moses is up on Mount Sinai receiving the commandments and the ordinances and statutes and so forth from the Lord. Meanwhile, down in the plains, you have Aaron and the children of Israel doing some horrible things, crafting this graven image of a calf, golden calf, and partying, having a big orgy, all drunk and naked. In Exodus chapter 32, picking it up in verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." And he said, "It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, "What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Naked, partying, ungodly behavior, crafting this golden calf that, as Aaron said, mysteriously come out of the fire. All bunch of drunks. And Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man of his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Consequences for drunken partiness and getting naked. Thousands dead, others judged, others plagued because of this ungodly behavior. We got to know that there's accountability. We got to know that there are rules, regulations, ordinances to follow, and not to be getting drunk and partying and having this excess and idolatry, horrible stuff that was going on there. But the Lord judged him for it. All right, now go to Leviticus in chapter 18. And here we see some of the law that was given to Moses. We identify as Levitical law, and the statutes and ordinances and the directions and so forth given to us that society is based upon, as we see in Leviticus chapter 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Like, don't behave like the Egyptians, don't behave like the ungodly folks that are in the area that you are fixing to go to. Ye shall do my judgments, and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Just as we read back over there in Genesis chapter 9 about Noah and that nakedness. She's saying you're not supposed to do such a thing. the nakedness of thy father, or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. That verse 21 is interesting how it's get plugged in here. This passing the seed passed through the fire of Molech was actually talking about the sacrificing of their children to the pagan god Molech. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. And this, of course, speaking of lesbianism and homosexuality. It is an abomination, clear and simple. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. See, those nations which are being cleansed, taken out, wiped out, many killed, and the ones they came from, Egypt and so forth, were indulging in all this perversion. And he's telling them not to be a part of that. Don't be doing that. Verse 25. And the land is defiled therefore. I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spewed not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls of that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. That commandment, not to be a bunch of drunken, naked perverts, basically. And we're dealing with a lot of that. And he's cleansing the people. He's getting them out of such behavior. And those that indulge in such behavior are held accountable. And we can learn from the sins and the behaviors of those in the past and the consequences of such sin, not to commit the same sins that they have committed, not to commit any sin, if we're really learning, and to be obedient to the will of the Lord, not to be a bunch of drunken, naked perverts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for your word and all these things that you've preserved for us to be able to study, to give us the guidelines on how we need to behave. Help us to be obedient to that and bring you honor and glory in everything that we do. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank y'all.